And I was very close to the microphone. That's why you heard me so loud. We just want to make sure our onliners can hear, even though Pedro's actually in the house. We always want to make sure he's always a help, letting us know. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 8, if you want to open your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 8. And we'll go ahead and open with a word of prayer and get into the book. Ask Brother Johnny, if you would, to open the Bible study prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here safely again today. And just thank you, Lord, that you continue to preserve our freedoms here in America, as we know the enemy is trying super hard to destroy them. We pray you'll just continue to preserve the freedom here in America until you return in the rapture. We pray you'll bless the teaching and the sermon later today. And also we pray that you'll just hold the evil at bay on this day, because we know a lot of people do try to do evil on Halloween. Right. We pray that people will be able to get the gospel and repent and get saved. We pray you'll just bless the rest of our time of fellowship today. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. All right. We're going to jump right in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 1. Yeah, I think we'll read the first four verses. So if you're there, read with me. Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Maher Shalal Hashbaz. And it took me. Oh, yeah, I got to say, several of you, we got that right. Verse 2. And I took unto me faithful witness to record Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Maher Shalal Hashbaz. Sorry. Yes, verse 4. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. So, yes, everybody can say amen to God's word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Isaiah is sounding the alarm. It's a fair warning. And you'll see that God gives many, many warnings over many, many years, and they're ignored almost all the time. Of course, same thing's true of our day. But this is during the reign of King Ahaz. And to show you, now the northern tribes will be taken off to Assyria. But then Assyria will come down on the southern tribes. And thanks to the reign of Hezekiah, the end of Manasseh's reign, and the reign of Josiah, God will continue to have mercy on the southern kingdom of Judah until finally Babylon comes and sweeps in around 606, and by 586 they're in complete captivity. What I just said, I hope you know, I know it's early and everything, but what I just said is a basic scenario you need to grasp. You need to get in your mind. If you don't get some of the basic ideas of the history of Israel down, then reading from 1 Samuel through 2 Chronicles and in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the minor prophets, you're not going to know what you're reading. And you'll do what most people do, is they go into those books and they'll pick a verse here or a verse there that sounds good. And that's about all they get out of those books. That is not God's intention of those books. We ought to try to read these books the way God intended. And he wants us to understand the basics of the history of Israel, because history just simply repeats itself. Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. The old saying quoted is, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. America is simply repeating the history of every other empire that came before it. Once they fall into amorality, immorality, and complete heathenism, away from God and into the flesh, it destroys a nation. And this is what we're seeing play out in Israel, and we'll see our seeing played out in real time in the United States. Johnny?
So I remember you showed us that chart that shows all the kings on it. So is that available on the website?
We have our own chart. It's actually broken down into four. And I didn't want to make it so small and crunched that you couldn't get it. So you can go on our website and bring it up in our charts. Let's get to the website here.
I see Martha
there in our picture. You go to... And this is what we're seeing play out
myself
in real time. But you go to the top of the website, and you'll see home, pastors, blog, pages, and resources. And then under resources, you'll see charts. You see that? Some of you can. If you can't, trust me, it's there.
At the top? Those and, are listed in alphabetic order, so just look.
Yeah, you hover over resources and click on it. And then that drop box comes down and you look for charts. Then you click on charts and it takes you to the page where you'll find all of our charts.
Oh.
And we have...
Some
our website's really nice if I could get people to go there.
They're titled, they're not...
We have a lot of people online who go there, but
okay.
Ever since we put a website up, the people who come local don't utilize the
website
very much. But here's the charts where the kings of Israel.
Oh, variant section.
And we have four charts, and they're numbered, so you can't get mixed up on it. And they come up in a PDF, and you can download it, or it might be a JPEG, actually. I can't remember now. But you can download it and print it or save it.
It says PNG up there. Isn't that what that says in the URL line? It tells you what it is.
It does, but I didn't upload it as a PNG, so I don't know why that is. But it doesn't matter. All computers use JPEG, PNG, or whatever, and you can convert it. Most computers have that. As you can see here is the beginning of the United Kingdom. There's one line. It goes kings, and on the right side you see the prophets who ministered during that era. And so that's chart number one. And then it takes you down to Rehoboam when the kingdoms split. And from that point on, you see the Judah south and Israel north in the middle are the kings of each of those kingdoms. The south prophets are on the left and north prophets are on the right. So you can see how they interact on a time scale.
Cool.
And we... Let's see. We are right in. Let's see. Might show up on the next chart here. Yeah, here's the chart where we are. And Isaiah overlaps. It's another thing with the prophets. Understand that they overlap with different prophets. But the main focus of his ministry took us into the. These kings up through he and Micah, by the way, through where we're at, around where Ahaz, you see Ahaz there on the Judah south. So in the time scale, that's where we are. And what's being warned about is what happens then at the end of this chart. And you can see at around, it says at the top, Kingdom of Judah 716 to the destruction of Jerusalem, because by that point, the kingdom of the north has been sacked. And so then all we have is Hezekiah, Manasseh, Amon, which is Josiah, down to the Babylonian captivity. You can't understand that a lot of times your first glance at it. But if you'll use these charts and you can print them out and have them next to your Bible, when you're doing your Bible reading, through the Bible every year, and you go through 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and actually all the way through the prophets, and read, have these charts with you, and it'll give you an idea where you're at, time-wise.
So glad Johnny asked.
That's a good question. I've shown you all this before, but...
we got a little pea brain. You got to tell us.
Yeah, it's... we were talking about that in one of our Proverbs. By the way, how many of you are watching the... I'm not going to ask you. We have Proverb devotionals Monday through Friday every morning, a five-minute devotional that gets everyone into the Word. And again, hundreds of people are watching it, not very many here, from what I understand.
I don't watch it.
But you don't have to watch it. You can listen to it. Yeah. And most of the people online are listening to it, which I understand. You know, you don't want to look at this face.
You don't bring Cammy on enough.
Huh?
You don't bring Cammy on screen enough.
Yeah, that's true. On those, I bring her into some of the other studies I do in the office.
We just try to keep her from barking while he's recording.
Yeah, I turn music on and shut my door, so you don't hear her yapping at the traffic.
I feel so. Sometimes.
Yeah, you will.
I've heard the music before.
Now Ahaz, that Isaiah is prophesying during the time of Ahaz, he's a wicked king, and we've talked about that in our previous studies. In Isaiah 7:12, we discussed it about Ahaz when he's trying to be all sanctimonious, and Isaiah said, "Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God," and he says, "I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord." And we're told right there that his issue was that he was wearying God. God was not impressed with his sanctimonious attitude. But the bottom line is God's word is being rejected. That's the bottom line in Israel at this time, and it's the bottom line in America today. So there's a lot to be learned and gleaned. Now, who is this Meher Shalal Hashbaz? Now, some of your Bibles are phonetic, and I prefer that myself, but I couldn't find a phonetic Bible with super giant extreme print like I wanted at the time. So some of them are, and it helps you pronounce it. It's phonetic, so you just pronounce what's in between the dashes slowly and then put it all together. But that Meher Shalal Hashbaz, just say it like that, and then you can say it faster as you get better. But be careful, because you could pull a tongue muscle. Now, some of the commentaries, by the way, when you're studying this, or preachers teaching, they'll try to make a connection between, we'll call him Hashbaz for short. They try to make a connection between Hashbaz and the Emmanuel prophesied about in the previous chapter. There's no connection. It's just, I think the motive behind a lot of that is they're trying to act like Matthew had it wrong when he said that Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. And I think that's why they make that statement. But this is a different, totally different situation. Isaiah was speaking of Emmanuel in not as his own son. And in this case, this is Isaiah's own son being spoken of. Yes?
Now, this is trivia, but my little note in my Bible says that that is the longest Bible word.
Longest word in the Bible?
That's what it says.
Hmm.
That's what mine says.
No.
Well, I'll have to research that.
My money was on Zaphnath-Paaneah back in Genesis, but I guess I'll take your word for it. Now, why in the world would anybody name their kid this? And the answer is short and sweet, and that is that Isaiah was prophesying in the names of his own sons. And we've had this discussion before, and I maintain that names sometimes mean something. What his name John is the same as Jenny. It's the same etymology. What is the definition of the Bible says is the beloved, God's gracious gift. Okay, now to prove that that doesn't always mean that. I mean, there are people named John, like John Hinckley Jr. Hardly God's precious gift. He tried to kill President Reagan, and now they've let him out of prison, by the way. Did you know that?
Oh,
Thanks, yeah. Biden.
You know who else they let out of prison, by the way? This is what happens when liberals take over. They don't punish crime. They reward it.
Yeah.
Sirhan Sirhan.
Who's he? Yeah.
The man who assassinated Robert Kennedy Jr. Yeah. They let him loose.
Somebody needs to get him.
He's still alive?
Yeah. Well, that's why they let him loose. Yeah. If he was dead, they wouldn't have to worry about it. They had a parole hearing and paroled him this year.
Idiots.
Yeah. That's what happens when liberals run things. They don't punish crime. But before we move on, I just want to mention this. Uriah, I love that name. So most of us identify Uriah the Hittite, who got axed by King David so that David could steal his wife, and that didn't turn out real good at all. But Uriah, I believe, was immediately with Abraham in Abraham's bosom in paradise when he died. So, he didn't totally lose out. But the name Uriah means Jehovah is my light. And then Zechariah means Jehovah will bless.
Come on in, see.
Oh, my nurse has COVID, so I don't think that's a good job. That's why I missed so many times.
Yeah.
Yes, so I'm
out. Well, thanks for waving at us.
Thanks for stopping.
We wondered about you, so thank you.
Yeah, I was wondering about how everybody was in here.
Doing good.
All right, thanks.
We'll see you in a week or two.
With Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, Johnny.
Wasn't it, because I think I found information that makes David's killing of Uriah even worse. Because isn't it Uriah was also named among David's mighty men?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a list, and yeah. He's in that list.
Yeah, he's one of the, not only a good guy, he was a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David still had to kill him.
Yeah.
Best friend.
Real quick, go back to chapter 7, verse 3, because I want you to see this. This is Isaiah's second son that was named. I mentioned and didn't really expound much on Shear-Jashub. And he got the shorter name. And Shear-Jashub means a remnant shall return. So in this case, the prophetic names given by Isaiah to his sons aren't really about his sons at all. He's making a pronouncement. You do realize there was no internet, no TVs, and even paintings and such were very rare. What you get in the Bible are word pictures. And if you don't understand that, you'll be really lost when you see Isaiah is told at one point to go naked. And another point that Jeremiah is told to put a thing on his a loincloth on and let it get dirty and then go bury it and it would get really nasty and he would dig it back up. And then Ezekiel was told to eat something cooked with human dung and he's like, "Whoa, Lord, I've never done it." And so the Lord says, "All right, use cow dung."
So what's it?
There's all these different. They're all for word pictures.
Right.
Shear-Jashub means a remnant shall return.
Okay.
And Meher Shalal Hashbaz means that the spoil speeds and the prey hastens. So you have two promises, negative and positive. God usually works that way. He's not Mr. Positive Thinking, but he does. There are positives, but he's balanced. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, he's warning that the north is about to be wiped out. Meher Shalal Hashbaz, but a remnant shall return. So there's a little hope given there with Shear-Jashub. And so we pick up in verse 5.
What
Isaiah 8.
Okay,
back verse 5. Let's read verses 5 through 8. Read that with me. The Lord spake also unto me again, saying, "For as much as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloah that go softly, and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son, now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria, and all his glory, and he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. and he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. So there's Emmanuel again, and not associated with either one of Isaiah's sons. Now, I'll be honest with you, there are places like this in the Bible that if you think you're too smart to go use resources, you're never going to get it. But right now, you're using a resource called the local church. And there are these guys who try to act like they're super spiritual. And I'm going to name names just because it needs to be done. But a fellow named Mike Hoggard, he used to always tell his people, you should only read the Bible. You don't need the writings of man. Just read the Bible. Then he sells books. I mean, just think about the idiocy and hypocrisy of that, stunting the growth of his listeners and followers. Because he's, well, it's a matter of pride and greed. He only wants you to read and buy his books. That's what he should have said. When you read a book, you should make sure that you're reading a book written by somebody who believes the Bible.
Yeah.
Right.
And but even then, they're human. So as you read it, J. Vernon McGee, for example, about every few pages, he's got a 4 or 5 volume set that I own that I use a digital version of, but I own the hard copy. It's on the shelf, takes up this much space. Right. And every few pages, he'll say something that he now knows is stupid.
Yeah.
What's that? Well, most of the time he'll say, well, I like a better translation. And so what do?
Burn it.
I burned it. Yes, that's right. No, you don't burn it. You ignore him there and spit that bone out, and then you watch for the meat, and that's when you chew. Amen? Yes. And that's true of everybody, including Greg Miller.
Amen.
Including John Alba.
Amen. Yeah.
Including Charles Spurgeon,
amen.
Peter Ruckman, John Wesley,
yeah,
John R. Rice. I don't care. I'm trying to think of people who you might be familiar with. You know, there's some guys that are so far off, just don't even bother. But they are, most of the rest of us are just fallible human beings who are trying to teach the Bible. And so I just tell you that because I went to 4 or 5 different sources and was glad that they were pretty much all in agreement about this information that I'm about to give you. And it helped me to understand what we're talking about here. When it says, for as much as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloah, that means Shiloah was a stream. We'd call it a creek, maybe, where I'm from. And this stream was one of these that were very peaceful, and it flowed from Mount Zion to Mount Moriah. And this nice flowing stream from Zion to Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah, if you don't know, is where Calvary is, what we call where Golgotha is, where Jesus was crucified. And Mount Zion to Mount Moriah, the waters of Shiloh that go softly. That's what God wanted to give Israel. He wanted them to have the waters flowing softly. And it says, for as much as they refuse that and rejoice in reason, or if you want to say resin, some of you say that. There's not a wrong pronunciation. But, and Remaliah's son. Who's Remaliah's son? When you know, a lot of times when the Holy Spirit moves a prophet to say somebody's name but not say their name, there's a reason. Who do you know Remaliah's son?
No, I was actually
Wait, let me answer your question Shiloh. First. Who's Remaliah's son? Anybody? Pekah. You remember the previous discussion we had a couple weeks ago? I can't remember if it was in John's text, but 2 weeks ago when we talked about Pekah. If you go back to chapter 7, where we were a couple weeks ago, in verse 1, we discussed how it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel. So Pekah is the king of Israel that God is so disgusted with, he and his predecessors, so disgusted with him that he wants to just wipe him off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And God is so disgusted with him that here in chapter 8 and verse 5, he doesn't even want to use his name. I mean, how would you, be a little harder with Johnny, and you know, but you could say, you know, could you tell John's son that I need him to do such and such? And he'd be like, Johnny? Yes.
Which one?
Well, why wouldn't you just say his name? I'm not saying his name. You know? That's how God is dealing with Pekah right now, as he's about to just completely wipe out the northern tribes. Now, then verse 7, we have the contrast. Now, therefore, behold, you see, therefore, is going to say something there for what he just said before. Therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river. In that region, at that time, and really even all the way up to this time, a lot of people just refer to the river, referring to the Euphrates, because it's the big one. If you live down south, a lot of times when they talk about the river or Old Man River, what are they talking about?
Mississippi.
Now, where I come from, people would just say the river, talking about the Ohio River.
Amen.
And I was just a stone's throw away from the Ohio River. And so that's what he's saying here, is instead of giving you those soft, slow flowing waters of Shiloah, you've chosen reason and Ramaliah's son, that name I won't even say. So therefore, I'm going to bring on you the waters of the river, strong and many. I mean, because there's a lot of tributaries. So when the Euphrates would overflow, all these other rivers and creeks would overflow. Even the king of Assyria and all his glory. And that's what happened. The king of Assyria came to the north and wiped them out. Yes.
Oh, okay. Mine was, as I said, it was back on Shiloah. So that doesn't happen to be the same one called the pool of the waters of Siloam in New Testament.
No.
All right.
No, things that sound the same aren't necessarily the same.
Well,
Shiloh, yeah. A lot of people think it's not related to Shiloh either. It's the Shiloah.
And then, let's see, there's one other thought. It was just reminding me of Psalm 23, you know, lead you beside the still waters.
Yeah. That's where God wants to lead us.
Yeah.
Yeah. John?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, as far as on the still waters, sheep will not drink water if the water's moving. If it's turbulent.
Yeah.
They'll only drink still waters.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, when you talk about not mentioning somebody's name, in the book of Jeremiah, now, one time does he mention the revival that Josiah had?
Mm-hmm.
There's no mention of it.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, it wasn't of the heart, it was of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
The people did not change.
Yeah, it was more of a civic yeah. revival religion rather than a heartfelt revival. That's right. So, as you see in that verse 7, when he's talking about the river Euphrates and overflowing the banks and all that, he's talking about the king of Assyria. There's your word picture again. You have the word picture of a nice, flowing, slow river, Shiloah. But since you've rejected that and latched onto this wicked kingdom of Syria, then I'm going to bring Assyria. That's another thing that confuses people. Syria is not Assyria. They're two different things. Actually, Syria originally was a kind of a branch of the families of Babylon. You go way back there, you'll see the connection to Babylon. And they then became independent. So it's kind of like the United States of America coming from England. And now you fast forward all the way up here, and God's going to destroy them. And now the king of Assyria, he'll try to come into the south, but it won't be time yet. So God will repel them until a later time, and then he'll let them come in when Nebuchadnezzar is king of Babylon. They come in. I mean, first, let me say it again. They'll come in, they'll be rebuffed, and then Babylon will be the one that God allows to come into the south. Yes?
Isn't Assyria one of those countries that people
say that it was a fable from the Bible until recent?
I believe so. And Nineveh, the city of Nineveh, and yeah, a lot of that used to, 120 years ago, 150 years ago, the elite schools taught that,
yeah.
What you're talking about. And then they.
So archaeology pulled
different. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty amazing what all these elite schools are constantly having to update their books. So back into verse 7, it says, "In all his glory, and he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks." And that just describes the kind of destruction that came with Assyria coming into the north. And he shall pass through Judah, but he didn't conquer Judah. And look over at chapter 37, Isaiah 37. We'll see. I'm going to come to this and from the way you all have responded this morning, by the time we get to chapter 37, you'll have forgotten and you'll learn it again.
Amen.
But 37, verses 35 and 36, this is what's going to happen when the when he goes down into Jordan or to Judah. It says in verse 35, "For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." Now read verse 36. "Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." Wiped out the entire army. So he was given a green light to the north. But when he tried to go down and take Judah, he was wiped out. Sennacherib. And he went home and his own kids killed him. So pick up in verse 9 now.
Back to Isaiah 8.
Back to Isaiah 8. And read verse 9 and 10 with me. "Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is with us." He said, the Assyrians, and he's saying that you speak the word, and it shall not stand. We'll read this later. Rabshakeh, I think is his name, comes in, and this is when Hezekiah is king. And he's saying all this stuff about how God isn't going to be able to save you. None of the other gods of the lands have been able to save you. And you're going to, you know, his words did not stand. For God is with us. At this point, he's still with Judah. And so then verse 11, 12, and 13, read that. "For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say, A confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread." Right? The emphasis I would say is let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. So the Lord spake with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. He's saying in the north, they thought that they could basically overcome the prophecies of God by making a confederacy. And they tried to get the king of Syria to come to their rescue. And God says, no, that's not going to work. And those in the south, the prophets told them, don't join with the north and don't try to fight. And so because they obeyed, then it all turned out good. But in yesterday's reading in our Bible calendar, I want you to go over to Psalm 121. And yesterday's reading just fit perfect with what he's being told here. Sanctify the Lord of hosts. Remember, Lord of Sabaoth himself. And let him be your fear and let him be your dread. And then Psalm 121, read verses 1 and 2 there with me. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." See, your fear is of the Lord. Let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread. And that doesn't mean you walk around in fear and dread all day, you know, thinking God's going to squash you like a bug. What it means is you understand that as long, you're on His side. So you don't have to worry about, but you do have that healthy sense of if the fact that if you turn on God, that's a wrong thing to do. And don't join with the enemies of God. Don't join with this sodomite culture of today. Don't join with the Marxist of today. Even though you're going to be a tiny remnant as the time goes on, less and less of us are going to stand. But that's where we ought to stand. Amen.
Amen.
And so we're going to leave off right there and have Brother John pick up with verse 14. But I'm going to close with this one word, and that is, fear God alone. How many of you have seen the t-shirts and the bumper stickers? They used to have, see them a lot. And said, no fear.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No fear is unhealthy. There are versions of fear that are healthy. Number one, I was always told, once you stop being afraid of that motorcycle, get off of it.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what I was told jumping out of airplanes.
Yeah.
The day that you are not scared to jump out of that airplane, hang it up.
Yeah.
You're going to kill yourself or somebody else.
True with guns.
Don't jump anymore.
Once you think a gun is just, oh, I've got this, you know, and you're careless, you get careless and you shoot someone else or yourself.
Say Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin. That's exactly. Yeah. So that's the kind of fear that is healthy, and the most healthy fear is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yep.
Other places says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. All right, let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into study this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in the book of Isaiah, chapter 8. We thank you for what we were taught.
Amen.
And we thank you for your Holy Spirit who help each one of us to be challenged on our level, where we are, as you take us from where each of us are to where we ought to be. We're all in a different place with you, but you deal with us each with a wonderful amount of grace and mercy, and we thank you for it. And now we ask you, bless our time this morning in the remaining service and fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Right before we go, can you say again what the interpretation was for Maher Shalal Hashbaz?
That is there's different, I just want to mention this, there's different wording of it, but the way I have it is, the spoil speeds, the prey hastens.
Okay.
So it's basically saying you're getting ready to get wiped out.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you. Here in a little bit. Three characters long, then Zaphnath Paneah. Okay.
All right, TN Liners, go get your tea.